Hello and welcome to Journey to a Dream with me, Beth Espy. Lovely to have you here. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. We are supported by the Andreas Racing Association on the Isle of Man and also the Manx Motorcycle Club, which runs the MGP. More details about them at the end of this podcast. Well, today we're talking to somebody who's really made huge strides and has only actually been over to the Isle of Man to race at the MGP twice, first time last year. So we're talking today to Toby Shan. And I began by asking him just to take us through, first of all, how he's got to this point.
I've done a few bits and pieces over the years. Slowly started into club racing and followed my way through the progression of the licenses through novice to clubman to national. And that was always the target once I started, with the real goals being within road racing. And then that has slowly led me towards racing at Oliver's Mount at Scarborough, Cookstown 100, Armoy, Northwest 200, and top of the tree for me is the Isle of Man course and the Manx Grand Prix.
So, Toby, what were you like as a child? Was this something of an obsession for you at that point?
It's not in my family at all. I've not grown up in and around bikes, but it has always been something that has been within me. I think my dad sort of famously was saying to someone at the Manx when asked a similar question, I think he said that it went wrong when him and my mother bought, my brother and I, an old clapped out go-kart. And that's where it began, really, just spending most of our time fixing that, mending it, trying to keep it running, functioning, and then modifying it. And then it just slowly evolved.
I can imagine, actually, as a parent, sort of kicking yourself for that present idea, which would have seemed like a good one at the time. I guess then the question is how they took the news when you were very keen on taking it a little bit more seriously.
It's probably slightly mixed feelings, possibly. But I've no doubt that they are more than happy and supportive of anything and everything I choose to do. Which they are, actually. Road racing does have a few risk elements. When they come and watch, particularly at the road racing circuit, it's not so bad at the short circuits when they can be tend to be a little bit further away from the race action compared to the joys of the road racing where they are right up close and personal to it. So I think it can hit home a little bit more at those times.
And I suppose for loads of people, Toby, they think, well, if you enjoy being on a bike and a short circuit is that little bit safer, why not just stick to that?
For me, it's just not the same. As I've grown up, really, and done a little bit of following racing and watching, just something that's inbuilt in me has been a love of road racing. If there's one program that I look forward to watching every year on TV, and there is only one of them, and that is watching the Isle of Man TT. And it's never been anything else, but if I happen to stumble across a bit of British Superbikes or World Superbikes on TV, well, I'll watch it, but I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it. So the road racing element has just always been something that's inbuilt in me, and a real admiration for those guys that are doing it. And through that is a desire and a strive in myself to do exactly the same.
And that must be quite an incredible thing then, when it's something that you've watched, that you've been, you know, so keen to do yourself, to actually then find yourself doing it. I guess there must be some pinch yourself moments.
Yeah, very much so, actually. You're just seeing the words out of my mouth. Yeah, probably to have to look back and pinch myself. It's still really good back to look at the photos people have shared, because I do forget and I do take for granted what happened when we're out there and the amazing time we had. Yeah, there's been some great achievements at the time. Yeah, never did I think I'd race at the Northwest 200, or never did I think I would race at the famous Isle of Man, but we have and we will continue to do so.
Okay, so just talk us through then how the journey progressed from having a little bit of an interest in bikes to where you are now.
Well, basically, once I'd set my heart on it, which was always from a young age as a kid, I was always going to get a bike at some point. I was always going to get a road bike, without a doubt. So that was always going to happen. It's just a matter of when in life and ticking off a few of the boxes first to make it feasible. One year, I did my test for my road licence. The next year, I could then afford it my first bike, which I did. So I got myself a Honda CBR 600RR. And then as soon as I did that and I started riding on the road, the next goal was to do a track day. And then as soon as I'd done a track day, the next goal was to be sat at a set of lights at the beginning of a race with the lights about to go out. And then once I'd achieved that goal, the next goal was to go road racing. So the next goal within that sort of progression was Oliver's Mount. To get there, I had to get my clubman national license and then to get to Oliver's Mount. From that, just sort of the pool of people that I'd started to mix with, that become friends and teammates, really, just through talking to them and learning more and learning more. So the next big goal then became the likes of Cookstown, Armoy, Northwest, and top tier. That was always going to be the Isle of Man for me. So it's just a slow, natural progression.
It sounds then like you're quite a methodical person, Toby. You give yourself these goals, you achieve that, you move on to the next sort of thing. Is that kind of how your brain works?
Yes, it is. Yeah, absolutely. Since I was somewhat leading myself from the start, now I wasn't mixed with that pool of people that are living and operating in that world. I didn't have all the answers. So I was just trying to tick off one step at a time as the best that I knew it. So that's what I did, one piece of the puzzle at a time.
How do you do all of that and have a, in quotes, normal life as well?
Not very easily, and not necessarily very successfully either. Yeah, maybe a good question to pose to my parents, actually. Yeah, so probably credit to them, actually. They've had to put up with me to a certain degree. And my friends of social circle, whether it's work or bike, and it, often, to be honest, it's a mixture of both. And these are the things that life always throws at us. As I need to focus, I start to shut down other elements of my world. I can sometimes to allow me to focus on what I perceive and choose to be my priorities at the time. And some of that's been the racing. To get where I've got to today has not happened overnight. It's been a great fun journey to get there. It's been challenging, and it's definitely not been easy.
But it sounds like there's nothing really up to this point that you would have changed about where you've ended up so far.
Oh, no, not at all. No. Yeah, no, nothing's easy, but that's just the way life is. And if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. So, yeah, more than happy for it to be a challenging journey. Learned a lot of things by just doing and trying, and to get where I am today. You know, I'm no means at the top of the tree, but yeah, there've been some successes along the way, and the Manx Grand Prix this year was definitely a success.
Do you know, if it was easy, I still wouldn't be doing it, Toby. But anyway, we digress. Just thinking about how you finance all of this for a moment, because it's always a topic of discussion because it is so expensive. Trying to get sponsors can be a really difficult thing for a lot of racers. And I just would like to know how you found that.
You are 100% correct. Yeah. And it's only become more difficult even in the time period that I've been involved in the sport. First and foremost, my work pays for my racing. And I know that. I work hard, really hard, to allow me to go racing. Company I work for, we build structures within the events industry. So with the most involvement that I have is from the staging side. So we build a lot of stages for concerts, festivals, and the likes of that. So that keeps us very busy, which I suppose one of the drawbacks is we're very busy over summer. I suppose there's more challenges for me when it comes to the racing and a slightly quieter winter. But you're right, financially is very difficult. Racing is expensive. Maintenance is expensive. Tyres, you know, and then there's any crash damage that may or may not happen. And particularly as you progress into road racing as well, there are higher standards that are expected of your equipment sometimes. You know, let's, for example, the helmets we have to run. They have to be an SIM approved helmet compared to short circuit racing that doesn't. So it just brings a little bit more cost. But, you know, only the likes of helmets and leathers, they're all the good things, all the improvements and
the benefits that those additional costs can bring in that sense.
And I guess for you as well, it's also when you're travelling to all of these places, you say, I mean, the industry that you work in, typically weekend work and whatever. So it must be really tricky trying to fit it all in. But getting to places, certainly getting to the Isle of Man from York, is not just a hop, skip and a jump, is it? It all has to be planned. It all has to be paid for. So obviously it's great to have that support from the Cowton team. In terms of looking for other sponsorship and how that works when you have got a team behind you, have you got other people with you?
Yes, absolutely. This is some personal guys that help me out in various different ways. So there's James Whittam Track Days, Paul there. So in many ways, Paul helps out, whether it be road racing or short circuit. And then I've got a couple of other guys that are there as well, supporting as well. There's a local company to me called Adplant, based in Beverley. And over at Scarborough Way, there is All Speeds Motorcycles and Classic Scooters. So Nicky over there. Again, he helps out with myself and the Cowton team through Cowton Racing as well. So, you know, they've got supporters behind them. Fran and the guys there just work tirelessly to prepare, maintain, develop. They've been at it for years and are absolutely huge supporters and lovers of road racing. So thankfully, Cowton Racing do have some support from Jay Patterson Machinery, which is over in Ayrshire, Gilbert Brown and Son, which are specialists in boat hauliers, and then a few others to name, but probably road racing news. There's just a team of people there that includes John Taylor, Janice, and Neil. The heart of the operation.
And I think, Toby, the thing that we always hear is that the contribution from every single one of those individuals and those companies means such a lot to you.
Oh, it's massive. Absolutely massive. Without them and their contributions, particularly towards Countenance Racing. I wouldn't have been in that position. Will, who's riding for Countenance Racing, wouldn't be. And all the guys that have raced with Countenance Racing over the years wouldn't be either. Fran and the team there are dedicated
towards trying to help riders develop and progress, and they put their heart and soul into it.
As you mentioned, the Manx Grand Prix, the pinnacle of what you've done so far. You were a newcomer, was it last year?
That's right, yeah. 2024 was a newcomer. And despite the weather, you know, some people found it a challenging time with the weather, but personally for me, I had an amazing time. I've got no bad memories about that year at all.
How did it all come about then? At what point did you put your entry in? When did you know that that had been accepted? Talk us through that process.
So Countenance Racing, I rode with at the Manx Grand Prix this year and last year. So I've been riding in and around them for a number of years now, and they've been nothing but a great help and support, even if I haven't been riding with them. So just through, you know, being with them and liaising with them and talking with them, and then there's a couple of friends of mine that also ride and have ridden at the Manx or the Isle of Man TT. So yeah, just through in confab with them and talking and staying in touch, you know, we knew when the entries were coming out to get that done and submitted. No small feat in itself. And then we just sat back and waited, really. And then the good news eventually arrived.
That must be just such an incredible feeling when something you've put so much into, and obviously you have that fantastic team alongside you who've got so much experience.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Over the moon the day we got that email. But at that time, there was no guarantee at that moment in time you were in, but you were accepted in principle. And then we had to go out to the Isle of Man for a couple of newcomer weekends, which were led by Milky. And all credit to Milky and the team of people that are involved on those newcomer weekends that educate us about all the difficulties, challenges, the common pitfalls, and the positives as well about the Manx Grand Prix, and prepare us the best we can for the first time we ever set off down Bray Hill. I owe them a world of thanks, really, because even riding around this year, I still say to myself some of the things that I learnt at those weekends with them.
Presumably you'd been over to watch before, had you?
Yeah, I've been over to the Isle of Man TT to watch that once. And then I've been over to the Manx a couple of times just to help a good friend of mine, Paul Marley, and the Countenance Racing team. So yeah, I've been over, come over race weekends and get my hands dirty, get involved in the process, really. Which was really good to see it all happen and understand what's where, when, why, how, where the bikes need to move and who needs to be in what location and when.
Yeah, I guess it's a real insight, isn't it, when you see it from not just the racer's point of view, but being there 2024, thinking this is what you've been working towards, actually making that happen. You finished ninth in the Junior Manx Grand Prix on the Countenance Racing Kawasaki. You were 13th in the two-lap senior, as it was, and you lapped at over 114 miles an hour. So you were the second best newcomer at last year's event. And yeah, I just wondered, was that something that you were aiming for to try it and get a decent result, or was it just all about just trying it out for that first time?
I wasn't aiming for results. I suppose really I wanted to go and learn the course and come away with a respectable time. That was the main aim, really. I wasn't trying to be the best or anything of that nature. The weather threw challenges at us, so we had limited time on circuit. And like you say, those results that we did get, I was over the moon with. Fantastic. A great first year. A little bit unexpected, but yeah, very happy to walk away and have the results under my belt.
Well, if you were happy last year, Toby, you must have been delighted this year, because it was just fantastic. You made some huge leap forward. You finished second in the Super Twin MGP and the Junior MGP races for the Countenance Racing team. And as I always say to people at this point, obviously, you're a little bit busy out on the mountain course at the point the commentary is going on, but I just wanted to play you some of the Junior race, because there were some absolute nail-biting moments. So here we go.
Next to go is Toby Shand. Toby second the other day in the Countenance Racing Kawasaki Z650, and Toby gets away. Toby, of course, from York.
Eight comes through now. That is Toby Shan. And Shan a little bit quicker than Liam Chalk, a little bit quicker than Michael Garn. Toby Shan goes fourth fastest. It's Williams leading Arrowsmith by four, with Shan in third, 2 seconds back on Arrowsmith.
This is shaping up to be an absolute ding-dong of a race, and Chris Boyd already on a pretty hot pace.
3 seconds quicker than they were on Saturday at Balaff on the opening lap today.
Liam Chalk, ninth, 3.6 seconds off the pace of Toby Shan, who now arrives as does number 7 Michael Gardner. So a little bit more spread out, but Toby Shan is only 0.2 of a second off the pace of Lewis Arrowsmith here. So Toby Shan in a battle for second in this early stages of the race.
Toby Shan's in and it's down. It's 2.8. Toby Shan's lap on 114.268. Williams leads by 2.8 into the pit stop from number 8 Toby Shan. Carolyn,
Toby Shan's away, Michael Garn's away, Andy Farrell's away, they're all gone now. There's nobody in pit lane now.
Let's look at that pit time for Toby Shan. We'll hopefully get that up on our screen. There he is, 34.08 for Toby Shan.
Quick look back at the bungalow here. Oh my goodness me, Toby Shan 0.011 seconds off the pace of Jamie Williams. He has slashed the time from Balaf all the way through to the bungalow. Toby Shan is right on the coattails of Jamie Williams here. Toby Shan's gone quicker, Ramsey to bungalow as well, 3 minutes 42.7.
Chris Boyd tight. Oh yes,
1/100 of a second. Jamie Williams fans, get those boards out to tell him he needs to get the pedal down. He's only got 1/100 of a second over Toby Shan. He's taking the lead. Oh. Lead change at Kronkemona on lap 2. Shan leads by a second.
We have a new race leader again. Jamie Williams is back in the lead. It's 0.5 seconds. That's a great run from Kronkemona to here.
Here at Glen Helen on the final lap, it is just over 1 second, 1.1 seconds.
So here we are, Ramsey on lap 3. Toby Shan's brought the gap down again. It's down to 1.5 seconds as Liam Chalk and Alex Sinclair go past us. Then it's Michael Garn, Toby Shan, and number 3 Andrew Farrell. Those trio very close together on the road. So Toby Shan trying to navigate some traffic because Michael Garn isn't slowing down either.
Jamie Williams is just dropping down from the Craig, down through Gomnagay, and then down into the big left hander at Brandish to the bungalow. He's on 115.439 bungalow to bungalow. Michael Garn and Toby Shan are also both on 115 pace laps.
Checkered flagman Mark Pendlebury is out on the road. He's looking up for the NCE Aprilia, and here he comes, Jamie Williams across the line. Toby Shan at Kronkemona, it's 2.28 seconds.
Wait for Shan and for Michael Garn, they're both coming down into Governor's Bridge just at the moment. Then they'll come through the dip and we'll get them onto Glen Crutchery Road. We'll have them across the line any second.
Here he comes, the KMR Kawasaki. It's number 6 across the line. That's Liam Chalk, followed by number 5 Alex Sinclair, gets the finish as well. And Toby Shan's last lap, 115.258. but let's get down to Beth for all the reaction from the winner's enclosure.
We will just move in and speak to the second place. First of all, Toby Shan, repeating what he did on Saturday. Toby, talk me through your race then.
Well, I climbed to it all as normal, but gosh, I wear my socks off from the start to the finish. It felt like it was flowing, it felt good, and I caught the man in front pretty quickly, and that was a positive sign for me, because last time he shot off like a scalded cat. So then I just stuck with him, we've just diced the whole race, and then we started to pick off the next man and the next man. So all in all, it was looking good, and I'm over the moon.
And you did have the lead for a little bit there. Were you aware of that?
Not the foggiest at all, not the foggiest. I nearly lost it down at the... Bray Hill, bottom of Bray Hill. Oh, coming out of there, I nearly lost that at one point, but so close. It would have been a split second between staying on and losing it. But here we are, lucky today.
And it's brilliant, isn't it, for the team? This bike's got a lot of memories as well.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic for the guys. Cowton Racing, they've put me here. And a huge thanks to all the marshals out there. We would not be here today without them.
Oh, delighted for you. Well done, Toby.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Oh, Toby, I don't know about you, but listen to that. My heart's just racing. It's just incredible to think how close it was. And it still blows my mind that you didn't know at any point that you had the lead for that little bit there.
Oh, incredible. Yeah, to be honest, it's amazing listening. It's actually quite exciting. Got a big smile on my face right now. Yeah, very exciting. Yeah, I didn't realise how close it was for the most part of the race, and the fact that it was chopping, changing sort of back and forth a little bit. But yeah, really interesting. To be honest, it makes me want to look back again now, actually. I'd be curious to look back at the timings and see sector times and how we'd done and how we'd fared at what moments.
And you didn't have anybody out there then giving you pit board information?
Not at all. So, yeah, I had no idea in the slightest. The only time that I thought maybe... The fact that we caught Michael on the first lap, who was in front of me. Michael had done well in the first race, but he had to retire, I think, was due to a fuel issue. So the fact that we caught him on the first lap, I thought at that point, well, that was a good start anyway. And then we diced back and forth for the duration of the race, and as we slowly caught riders. So yeah, so I knew things were, I knew I was riding okay. And I think Michael would have thought the same as well. But yeah, I didn't know where I was relative to the rest of the pack. Yeah, I couldn't tell you if I was in first or in 10th. last lap, I could see a few guys just at various points. For example, hairpin, maybe down in Ramsey a little bit. A few people just waving me on. So I thought at that point something must be somewhere there or thereabouts in the top three.
Do you think it would have made any difference if you had that information out there?
Oh, it's easy to say now, isn't it? I'd like to think that maybe it could have made a bit of difference. But like I said, that's easy to say when we're sat here now. So in reality, that might have been a different game. You know, if I had picked up my game, Jamie might have done the same. You know, maybe he was managing me and his lead accordingly. So maybe he played the right game.
I suppose the question is, though, next year, are you going to have somebody out there with a pit board?
To be honest, there's been no conversations had as yet. So I definitely like one, that's for sure. You know, based on what happened this year, then yes, I suppose that is the only sensible option.
Yeah, I think if you can pay him beer, somebody will be happy. It'll be absolutely fine. You talked in that post-race interview, Toby, about that moment that you had on Bray Hill. I mean, I think what struck me was you were so incredibly composed after everything that you've been through. Mentally resetting after something like that happens must be quite a challenge in a race.
A split-second thing and very focused during the race. So I suppose even before the race and the whole time I'm on the island, actually, there's a complete focus on what I'm doing to the point of becoming quite antisocial in that sense. Day and night, my primary reason to there was to race and to do the best I could do. As a result of that, it's blocking most other things out. But during the race, yeah, to have that little bit of a moment at the bottom of the Bray Hill, of which some guy, Tammy, sent me a little video of the moment post-race. So I have seen a little bit of footage. But yeah, as soon as it's over, that's it. Straight back, I want to focus. And I've got two guys around me at that time, Michael and Andy Farrell at that moment in time. So my aim was just to break a little gap from them and keep trying to push on.
It's really interesting, isn't it, when you get videos of things like that and even photographs, I suppose, from around the course. When you're looking at it with a few weeks' distance, is it like looking at somebody else?
Absolutely. 100%. But they're also fascinating, probably less so in a slightly bit of a vain way, I think. But they're really interesting to be able to see what you look like on the bike, where you were on the track, at what point you were turning in, how far the bike was leant over, you know, compared to how I perceived it was at the time. So there's lots of little details that are really fascinating to see and to try and learn from all those images. So for anyone that's dug them out and shared them or pops them on social media, I'm hugely grateful.
And I just want to know, from your point of view, obviously only your second time at the MGP, but to turn right into that enclosure, not once, but twice, when that finger is pointed at you, how does that feel?
Absolutely over the moon. Slight bit of relief as well. Particularly the second time round. After the first time, you know, I knew I was there or thereabouts. So, yeah, I definitely needed to do a good job the second time round to be back on the podium in the second position. Very grateful to all the team. Yeah, I really wanted to see that man pointing me in that direction. You know, so I was looking down that bit lane return as I was coming back in on the bike, just hoping that I was going to get the knob to turn in.
And your other results weren't too shabby either. You had sixth in the Supersport, eighth in the Senior, and a best lap time of 119.123 miles per hour. So in terms of any goals that might have been set in 2024, you absolutely smashed them. The question now, of course, is what's the focus for next year?
There is no goal set at the moment, is the honest answer. So I'll be seeing Calton Racing Team, so Fran, who heads that up, he's the main man. I think it might be actually next week or the week after. So we'll be having a catch-up and a bit of a confab. We just want to continue to keep progressing. Where we go and race and how we go about it, not 100% sure. I'll be catching up with Fran Cowton in coming weeks, start to talk about 2026 and what we may or may not be up to.
And obviously MGP was the focus. Is TT something that you'd ever consider?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, as I've progressed, you know, ticking off one of those goals, one after the next, then TT definitely is something that I aim to be there, achieve and to keep progressing. I'm confident I can go faster than I've gone so far. There's a lot of learning to be done just at the start of that journey, really. So, yes, definitely to get to TT at some point and keep going quicker.
Joe, that's really exciting, isn't it, when you think, actually, you've achieved that goal that you set out, but there is still so much more that you can do. And when it's a sport that you love so much, to have that opening out in front of you must be just, yeah, absolutely brilliant. How good are you at keeping up to date on social media and letting race fans and whatever know how you've done?
Definitely not my strong point. That's the easiest one to answer of all the questions. Yeah, they're definitely not my strong point at all. There's just a couple of folk that in and around the team that sometimes help with those elements because they're much better than I.
But yes, something I should definitely do more of.
It's really difficult, though, isn't it, when you've got everything else going on and actually all you want to be doing is out there riding your bike. But there's almost that responsibility on riders now to keep up with that.
Yeah, some folk are much better than the others. And there's another lad I know called Will, who was riding with the Cowton team this year. You know, Will's excellent at it, much better than myself. But yeah, like I say, I'm a bit more focused on personally riding the bike and working on the bikes, you know, in the background. That takes up a lot of time that goes unseen.
Give us a sense of what the next few weeks and months are looking like for you then.
Ooh, start stripping the bikes, start preparing the bikes for 2026. Good old catch up with the Cowton Racing team and a few of the sponsors that go with them. And yeah, start making plans for 2026. There's never a quiet moment in my world. As soon as I've sat down on the sofa, I've stood back up and I'm on with the next job. So whether it be bike preparation, riding, maintenance, fitness, house renovations, and generally working all day and every day. Yeah, anything to keep myself busy. Never a quiet moment.
Flipping heck, Toby, I need to sit down just listening to that. Thank you so, so much. It's been great talking to you. Just tell us where we can find you on the likes of Facebook and Instagram.
Cowton Racing is probably the best port of call for that. So the Cowton Racing team have a dedicated Facebook page with a regular update and information shared and announcements, along with various bits of footage and fun throughout the season. They're the main guys, really, that are behind it all. And they're the ones that I owe all my thanks to.
Wonderful. Well, we'll put a link to the Cowton Racing team on the podcast page. And, you know, we're not too far away from Christmas now. We're going to be asking the parents for another go-kart, or we're looking for something bigger this year?
No go-kart this year. I was still sad about the day we got rid of that, actually. If only we still had it. My niece and nephew could be riding it now. Yeah, nothing funny for the Christmas this year is what I'll be asking for. I'm sure they'll throw something my way, but generally just putting up with me. Dad was out at the Manx with me for the duration, so I got my money was worth out of him for 2 weeks at that time.
Been brilliant talking to you. All the best for the next few months, and we can't wait to see you back here.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Toby Shan. And if you happen to buy or find that go-kart, he would be delighted to have it back, it sounds like. Brilliant to talk to Toby. And as I always say, we can't wait to see what he achieves in 2026. The bar is going to be so high, isn't it, after all the success this year. The links to the Cowton Racing social media are on the podcast page, so do take a look at those. Journey to a Dream is brought to you by the Andreas Racing Association, fantastic organisation here on the Isle of Man. And while we're pretty much at the end of the season, they are always happy for you to get involved next time. So give them a shout. Again, the link's on the podcast page, and see how maybe you can be involved in 2026. And we're also delighted to be supported by the Manx Motorcycle Club, which runs the MGP. So they help me with organising some of the fantastic guests that we have in this podcast series. Do take a look at some of the previous episodes, and I'll speak to you again very soon. But if you'd like to get in touch at any point, bethesby@manxradio.com is the best email address. Take care. Bye-bye.